I received a letter from Bishop Soto reminding us that October is Right to Life Month, or Respect Life Month, and he asked that we do a homily or two on some life issues. So he gave a little bit of a breakdown of today's gospel. I thought, ooh, he's got some nice little nuggets there. I'm going to steal them. He gave us permission, so I'm borrowing them. So when we do that, we go to today's gospel, we see this image of the vineyard. And we heard in the first reading and responsorial psalm, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his cherished plants. Sounds kind of nice. When you're going to build a vineyard, what you would do is you would first start by putting in a hedge around the area where the vineyard would be. And you'd put thorny bushes and all kinds of nasty plants on the outside. And that would keep out the four-legged animals who want to come and eat your grapes, and the two-legged animals that want to come and steal your grapes. And as we heard in the first reading, there'd be a big tower in your vineyard as well. That tower serves two purposes. One, it aids in the production of the wine. And the other, it's a good lookout. So if you're in the vineyard, you're safe. Now, sometimes the landowner would be off at a distant place, like in today's reading. And he would hire people to work in his vineyard. And the owner and the workers would have an agreement. They would say, okay, well, either we're going to rent it to you at a set price, rent your land from you, or they say, we'll give you a percentage of the crop when the crop comes in. So we can see that this relationship is beneficial for everyone. The owner gets a little money. Those who work in the vineyard have a livelihood, and everything works out well. So this is the wonderful image that we're given in our scriptures today. But what happens in today's gospel parable? Well, we're told that the workers rebel. They want something that is not theirs. They have no right to what they want. So in order to accomplish it, they have to break the rules of the vineyard and also break the commandments of God. And they end up murdering an innocent man so that they can have what they think they should have. And this is important for us because we see in our life today, sometimes we do the same thing. When we're trying to get to certain ends, sometimes the means we use to get there are not the best. And this is important for us when we talk about respect life. So I'd like to look at a couple issues that we see under the life umbrella. I'm going to start by talking about death. You might think, Father Jerome, respect life, death, what's going on here? But sometimes we have to start at the end and work our way backwards. Because sometimes death is troublesome for us. I remember when I was a student brother, I spent a summer up in Seattle, and I was working in a hospital as a chaplain. And I was visiting this one lady, Mary. She's 92 years old, and she was in the ICU unit. We're having a wonderful conversation. She was a woman full of faith. We're talking about God and talking about all things wonderful. But she knew that she was 92, and her body was starting to break down. So the doctor came in, and Mary was sitting where you guys are, and I was where I am, and the doctor comes in and stands. He asked, he wasn't rude, he said, excuse me, by all means. He stood in front of me, so he's facing you guys. And he says to Mary, he says, Mary, we need to run some tests to figure out what's wrong with your heart. Mary, not missing a beat, said, tests? I'm 92. I'm old. I can't live forever. So I'm trying not to laugh. I guess not in the face of the doctor, in the back of the doctor. And he starts fumbling and bumbling, trying to find words to justify why he wants to run tests on the heart of a 92-year-old woman who is clearly in the process of dying. So we can see that sometimes we have to let nature take its course. We're all going to eventually meet that moment when we are all going to die. It's hard to maybe accept our deaths. It's hard to let someone go who we love, but that's going to happen for all of us. And Mary's testimony was beautiful. A piece of the conversation we had really touched my heart. She said her biggest concern at 92 years old facing death was that she could no longer make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on Wednesdays and go to the park on Thursdays and feed the poor. I thought, what a beautiful testimony. In the face of death, she was caring about other people. So in respecting life, we also have to respect death and say, yes, death is a beautiful part of life. Now, we can't confuse letting somebody go naturally with the other alternative, which we're seeing more and more of today, which is euthanasia, which is to do something or not do something that directly brings about another's death. I read an article just this week that was kind of troubling. It was an article about this 80-year-old couple, and they're 80 years old, so they have the aches and pains that we all get as we get older, but no major problems, nothing that would keep them from living a full life. Yet the whole article was about them going off to some euthanasia camp somewhere in Europe, and they were going to end their lives together. And they wanted to do that for two reasons. The first is that if one were to die, the other would be alone. And I've seen many couples here, and it is beautiful to see, again, death can be beautiful, just to see how strong that love is, that when a spouse of 30, 40, 50 years dies, how the other, just it's a beautiful testimony of that marital love that we have. It's painful, yes, but a beautiful testimony that says, yes, I love this person so much that I can't wait to be with them. The other reason is they didn't want to be a burden on their children. And the children were interviewed like, yeah, we're totally on board. Mom and Dad, go. We want to be done with you if you read between the lines. And I thought, how sad. This couple spent their early years with their children, taking care of their children. They bathed them, they fed them, they clothed them, they educated them. They spent their entire lives providing for their children. Now it's time for these children to do the same. And they're like, no, we don't want to do it. We just want to ship mom and dad off and let it be taken care of that way. So we have to be careful because the lines do get blurred between what is legitimate medical resources and what is not. I'm not a doctor, but we have doctors and hospice nurses here at St. Dominic's, and you're a wonderful resource because people will come to us and we try to figure out, well, what's going on here. Because I've had people come to me and say, you know, Father, this is what we're being told, but it just seems a little off. It doesn't seem like we're really trying to do what we're supposed to do, which is to serve the patients. Another area that kind of tangentially goes with the medical profession is our scientific knowledge and how we use that. There was a movie in the 80s, I won't tell you what it is, we'll have a pop quiz if you know it, where they had a bunch of these child geniuses at school, college, and they had to create this super duper laser, and that was their project to get their degree. So they're working on this laser, and there was this one like burnout hippie guy that lives in their closet that all of a sudden comes out and says to him one day, well, what are you guys going to do with this super-duper laser once you create it? Anybody know the movie? What is it? Real Genius. Good. There you go. Real Genius. What was the guy's name that lives in the closet? Laszlo. Laszlo. So Laszlo says to these geniuses, you know, what are you going to do with this laser? And these, 20-something, very young, very intelligent, but not very wise, wisdom comes with age, their answer was, who cares? Well, they should care, because as the movie unfolds, we find out that the professor was in cahoots with the military. They were going to mount this high-powered super-duper laser on a space shuttle and use it to eradicate foreign leaders around the world. It's an 80s movie. What are you going to do, right? Cold War's going on, whatever. But it's interesting, because when the students find out, they're horrified. They can't believe that their life's work is going to be used for this purpose. But our catechism has a wonderful quote regarding that. It says, it is an illusion to claim moral neutrality in scientific research and its applications. Now, science has done wonderful things for us. We live longer. We live healthier. We've eradicated all kinds of diseases. Science has a beautiful way of assisting us to help us help each other in respecting life. But science has also introduced some pretty incredible ways of killing one another. It's popular today to hear people say, oh, religion is the cause of all wars. Well, that's not true. The 3-volume Encyclopedia of Wars analyzed 1,736 wars, and they found 7% come down to religious purposes. What is true is that it was scientists who created the atom bomb. It was scientists who created weapons of mass destruction. Now, I'm not bashing science. We need science, but we have to be careful how we use it. We can use our brains to build one another up, but we can also use our brains to tear one another down. So we have to be careful respecting life in every form of it. There's so many other issues, but I'll give a quick look at war in the 2 minutes that I have. So it's just food for thought, not the definitive comment on it. As I speak right now, there's dozens of wars being waged around our world. Read the paper, go on the internet, and you'll see. Now, I'm going to make the assumption that there are no world leaders sitting in this church. Is that fair? Putin, Obama, Cameron, any of you guys here? Okay. So if you really think about it, nobody in this church has the direct ability to end any of the wars that are going around in our world. Yes, indirectly, we can work to bring about peace in our world, but directly, we can't. But we can prevent local wars. We can prevent future wars. St. James writes in his letters, "What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is not the source your pleasures that wage war in your members? You lust and do not have, so you commit murder." Today's parable. "You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel." All wars start with an individual. Something's going on in the individual, and they want something they shouldn't have, or they see something they don't see, and then they get people on their side, and then people get stuff on their side, and it goes local, then it goes larger, larger international. Then we're sending people all over the world to kill each other, and they don't even know why they're doing it. So we have to take that locally. We can stop wars, the war within ourselves, the war within our sin, the war within the struggles that we all have. I'll quote, never thought I'd do this, Michael Jackson of all people, because he has a wonderful song called "The Man in the Mirror," and he has a beautiful verse in it. Because he said, "I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make that change." The only war that we really can bring to an end is the war within ourselves. And when we do that, then there's usually a better chance for peace in our families, peace in our communities, peace in our nation, and then peace in our world. Yes, we should work to end the wars around the world. But the way we really can do that is starting with ourselves, starting with that person in the mirror. So this Respect to Life Month reminds us that life is precious. That wonderful saying we have, from the womb all the way to the tomb. We have to remember that our actions have consequences with ourselves, with those we love, and the world around us. Like the workers in the vineyard, God has given us principles to protect life, our own, each other's, and those around the world. Our time on this earth is so short. If you think about it, the earth has been around for, what, 1 billion years? We'll get 80, 90 if we're lucky. It's going to go like that. Let's work every day to respecting one another, respecting our own lives, respecting each other's lives. When we do that, we will be able to be that beautiful witness of Christ, of life to all.